Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Welcome to Second Baptist Church today. Really excited today. It's always a great day when we get the chance to gather together, worship the Lord together, and really looking forward to this morning. There's a lot of special things that are taking place this morning. Let me first and foremost say, hey, if you're a guest, thank you so much for being here. We would love to, if you're looking for a church home. I know we have some guests that are supporting these men that are being ordained today, but if you're a guest and looking for a church home or looking to connect, we would love to connect with you, and we can do that in one of a couple ways. One, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that card out, that information, at the end of service. You can leave that in the offering plate or there in the pew, and that's a way for us to connect with you. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. Click that button, fill that information out, and it's a great way for us to know who's worshiping with us and be able to connect with you. And so, again, thank you for being here. Again, it's an exciting day. Most of our service will be somewhat normal, if you will. We do have a special music today, and then toward the end, we are going to recognize God raising up two men among our church, and I'm going to preach on the ministry of deacons and so on and so forth in our as a part of our sermon today. And so, just be praying for our service and looking forward to that. Also, tonight is our quarterly family business meeting, so we'll have our business meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. I really want to encourage you, if you're a member, if you'll do all that you can to come back, be a part of that. It's an important business meeting as we look to approve the budget for 2024, among other things. And then that's tonight, 5 o'clock right here. So if you can be back tonight, we need you to be able to do that. And then following that is a fun time as a part of a church family, just fellowship, getting a chance to serve together. You have been bringing in, so gracious in bringing in food and items for our Thanksgiving food boxes, which we will give away this next week. Well, tonight, after our business meeting, we'll pack those boxes. It's just a fun time to be together, be a part. So I want to encourage you to come for the family business meeting at 5 o'clock and then plan to stay around. We'll go down to the fellowship hall and put those boxes together. All right, so we'll get those boxes ready. We'll get the cold items and those things early tomorrow morning. And then beginning at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, is that right? About 8:15. If you'll make plans, if you want to help deliver food boxes, if you're able, your schedule allows that, that's a neat time to go and try to be just a blessing to families as we just send some of our groups out and deliver those food boxes. I know several people work and you're not able to do that, but if you'd like to be a part of that, that happens tomorrow at 8:15. And if you can let Pastor Jonathan know that you can be a part of that, that'll be very appreciated. I'm going to encourage you to take notice. There's a lot of things happening coming up. This is usually a busy time of the year of different things happening. You'll notice the women's banquet is coming up very soon. It's hard to believe it's December 4th, and that will be soon, but it is. Take notice of when our office is closed. Also, our annual family meal together in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We do a family meal together, and notice that date there, December 10th. Anyway, there's a lot of information in the bulletin this morning. Want to encourage you to grab one of those, take note of all of that, and really grateful for that. Well, this morning, before, I know that's a lot to throw at you in terms of announcements and all those kinds of things, and a lot of things happening. And before we go any further, we want to just pause and ask the Lord to be with our service, ask the Lord to move and to work among our church today, that He would be glorified. And so let's take a few moments and just try to focus in on the Lord. So if you would bow your head and close your eyes and take just a moment and pray for our services, pray for focus, pray for clarity, pray for wisdom today. Pray for the Lord to meet with us, that He would inhabit the praises of His people, that He would bless the preaching of His word. God in heaven, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for today. God in heaven, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to focus and hear from you today. God, help us to fix our eyes upon you, Lord Jesus. And God, you would cleanse us from all the things going on in our life. God, even the busyness of life and the anticipation of the day. God, all those things, help us to just be in the moment and totally focused on you and what you've done for us. I pray, God, you would give us grace to worship both in spirit and in truth today. Lord, I pray that you bless the preaching of your word. God, I just ask that you, Spirit of God, would minister to us today in a way that only you can. Holy Spirit, fall on your people that you may be glorified, Lord Jesus. We love you and praise you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing God of Wonders? This is a song we introduced a couple of weeks ago, Christ Be Magnified. And truly, with our lives, that's our prayer, isn't it? As followers of Jesus Christ, we want him to be lifted high and we want him to be magnified in all that we say and all that we do.
We're creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues. Show
It is well.
Let this
Well, amen. What a good morning already to sing to the Lord and thank you to our ladies for sharing that with us. And man, what a great message for today. To everything in our life to bring honor and glory to Him. He's made us and it's for Him. And so, anyway, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Acts and chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, we are deviating this morning from where we've been walking through the Gospel of John, and rest assured, we're going to get back to that, but a slight deviation here this morning as we dig into this message from the book of Acts. And I want to preach to you a message that I've titled The Ministry of Deacons. The Ministry of Deacons. And so Acts chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 1. If you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. God in heaven, I pray that you would hide me behind your cross and fill me with your Spirit. I pray that everything about today would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, I pray you would give us all ears to hear, a mind to understand, a heart and a willingness to be obedient to you. Lord, bless the preaching of your word. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to preach to you from this text. And although I realize we do not see, especially in our translations, the translation of deacon here. And there's great debate of whether he's actually talking about a deacon or if that's the idea here. And I don't know that we can make that case strongly, although there's some other passages throughout Scripture that make it very clear. There are two offices that the New Testament lays out and recognizes within the local church, and that's the office of pastor and the office of deacon. Those are the two offices in which are set aside in the New Testament for the local church. I personally believe here, although there's not titles given in this particular text, I think this is the establishment of that office. This is the early setting up of that, and we're going to look at some of those qualifications this morning. But that's why I chose this passage this morning. Felt like the Lord led me to this passage, rather, to share with you and just glean some truth from the early days of what is happening and going on. The book of Acts is a follow-up to the four Gospels that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in those, we have the life and ministry of Jesus. And then we have Jesus dies on the cross. He's raised from the grave. And he is then left a handful of days with his disciples. And then we pick up in Acts chapter 1, and he leaves a final message in Acts 1:8 to go and be a witness to the whole world. And then he ascends to heaven. And then the disciples, what do? They go back. They go to the upper room and they grab a hold of, they're on their face and they're praying, begging God to do what only He can. And the Spirit of God falls on that upper room and fills those men with the Spirit of God. And God does things in and through those men that we never dreamed of. And so then there's an establishment. As they go and preach the Word of God in Acts 2, you see the church is established. And that's what the book of Acts, it's the advancement of the gospel. And here we are, what's been happening is in and around Jerusalem, man, they're preaching and teaching, and people are coming to know Jesus. They're becoming disciples of Jesus, repenting and placing their faith and trust in Christ by the multitudes. Man, people are being saved. In Acts 2, it says that daily there were about 3,000 saved. Then later in Acts 4, daily there's people coming to know the Lord. And so this thing is just growing and growing. And so excited this morning to share with you about the ministry of deacons, because they run into some trouble here. They have some issues. And so the main idea of the text this morning, if you're taking notes, is that God blesses the church who recognizes God's raising up of deacons to meet needs in the church. God blesses the church who recognizes God's raising up of deacons to meet needs in the church. Let me share this with you. It's not the church who raises up deacons, calls deacons. It's God who calls them, but it's the church who recognizes that call on their life. All right? And so that's the idea, that God blesses that. So the question then is, do you recognize God's hand on these men? This morning, we are getting the privilege and the honor to recognize what I believe is the hand of God on Tyler and Jason and their families, and God calling them to this. You remember back in the spring, we went through a process and we had visited with them. They had been recommended to our deacons, to myself at different times, to be considered a deacon by the church, and I think that's the way that it should be. I met with them, our deacons met with them, and we talked, and they prayed, and we prayed, and all that sort of thing. And so in some ways, a little bit, honestly, in the spring, we kind of made it official, but we've just been waiting to walk through this kind of ordination process of setting them aside and just walking along with them through this. And so that's just what we've done. We've all been praying through this process. We have the deacons and Pastor Jonathan and myself, we met with them just a little over a week ago and their wives and asked a lot of tough questions, heard their testimonies of salvation and all those sorts of things, and walked through that and just had an ordination council of walking with them. What does it mean to be a deacon? What are the scriptural qualifications? And do you meet those? And so on and so forth. And so today is in a sense a formality, if you will, because the church has recognized that. the church has recognized that. We've walked alongside to be good stewards and faithful as we can, is that. And so there's a point in today where we're going to come and lay hands on them. Boy, y'all been waiting on that, right? Some of y'all been waiting to lay some hands on deacons. Today is your chance, all right? But we're going to lay hands on them and trust that God has called them and raised them up for such a time as this. And so we're short on time today, so I got to get to it. All right, number one, deacons meet needs within the church. Deacons meet needs within the church. So what's been going on? The church has been growing. Look at verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, so hit pause there, mark or underline disciples. All that means is a follower of Jesus. We're in a day and time where we try to get so theologically smart that we start talking about as if somebody comes to Christ, then we got to help them become a disciple. No, the day that somebody repents and places their faith and trust in Jesus, they become a disciple. There's no other kind of follower of Jesus. That's what disciple means. So the day that you got saved is the day that you became a disciple. Now, you weren't a very mature disciple. You were a baby Christian, is what the Bible calls it. And so you were a baby follower of Jesus, but nonetheless, you were a follower of Jesus. There's no second-class citizen as far as following the Lord Jesus. And so what's he saying? There were folks being saved. God was at work. God was blessing the church. So in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, He goes on, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Back to that language, there arose a complaint. You didn't know there was a Baptist church in the New Testament, did you? Huh? We found it right there, right? You ever heard, boy, you get any two Baptists in the same room, you got at least three opinions? Some of you have been around churches a while, you know that's true, don't you? Uh-huh. Some of y'all avoiding eye contact. You don't want to talk about it. That's all right, I understand. But that's my poor attempt at trying to be funny. But there's this, there arose a complaint. What's happening? Man, the church is growing, and there's an issue that's going on. And by the way, let me just say this. That's what happens sometimes, is that God blesses in such a way, it doesn't mean that it's all going to be perfect, and man, you know, you're never going to stub your toe, you're never going to have struggles. The reality is we're all people, and even when God is at work, there's still going to be some struggles. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Like, there's still some issues, still some things going on. So notice what happens. He says, there arose a complaint. What are they complaining about? The complaint is the Hellenists were complaining against the Jews because they felt like their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So Jewish tradition, there was on Friday a distribution of meals to the widows. It was 14 meals or a combination to be able to provide, have 14 meals. There was that weekly distribution that was taking place as a part of Jewish tradition. It seems like the church, and if you look back at Acts chapter 2, everybody brought all things together in common and distributed as those had need. They were taking care of one another. They were meeting needs within the church as best they could. And so it seems like as the church is growing, that this church likely might have adopted something similar, but there was a problem that had taken place. See, there were a lot of Jews that were coming to faith in Christ that were being saved. And what is listed here, the Hebrews, those that were born in the area, and they were raised up speaking Aramaic and they were speaking Greek. And so they had no issues. But the Hellenists were those that were born outside of that region, outside of that, and they had relocated, they had come there, and they likely did not speak Aramaic. And they still had some Greek cultural traditions and some customs about them. So what was happening is, it's not that there was a racial issue, there was a cultural issue. But let me just say this, and the enemy wants us to believe that some of the cultural and race and those sort of issues that we face today is if they haven't ever existed before. They've always existed. Why? Because sin entered the world a long time ago and we have a sin nature. And the reality is we tend to hang out, talk to, be with people like us unless we're intentional. But let me tell you something, before you're anything cultural, before you any ethnicity or race or any of that as a believer, first, I'm a child of God. And that supersedes all of the other stuff, and it has to tear down all the racial baloney, all the economic baloney, all the you're from this side and from that side. It tears all that stuff down and go, first and foremost, I'm a child of the King, and that trumps any citizenship, by the way, that I have other than the one in heaven. Amen? I'll leave that if you believe me, all right? Rather, believe the Word of God. So there were some things going on. There were some struggles. And those that were not from the area that had some differences are looking around and going, look, our widows are being neglected. They're not being taken care of the way that they should be. And so there's a need here that must be met. And I believe what we're going to see is that deacons are raised up to help meet that need. Our deacons now, and these men that we're laying hands on today in the future, their ministry is to help meet needs within the church, not solely just coming out of their own pocket. Doesn't mean that they have to go around financially and bear the weight of all the burdens and all the needs and things that are going on, but rather it's to identify that and help come alongside, and as a church family to make sure we're taking care of, in this case, taking care of our widows, taking care of those in our church, and meeting the other ministry needs, other ministry needs within our church. 1 Corinthians 10:10. There was this complaint, and so, but Paul, has a strong word here. He said, nor complain, as some of you also complain, and we're destroyed by the destroyer. What's happening is if we don't take care of one another and we don't handle things the right way, then the enemy will move in and we'll be so complaining about one another and fussing and fighting that we miss the point. And so part of this is going, we need folks raised up and coming together and let's talk, let's communicate, let's meet the needs and things that were happening. And notice there's a complaint that raised up, but it at least made it to some leadership so that leadership could help try to facilitate a way that that need could be met. And so if you look at Ephesians 4:11, he talks about some of the different folks that raises up. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Look at this, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what's the deal here is that God raises up deacons. I told you a minute ago that the two offices were pastor and deacon. And in addition to that, it's not the sole deacon's responsibility, or for that matter, a pastor's responsibility to go and meet all of those needs or take all of those things. Rather, Ephesians 4 says part of my job, part of a job as ministry staff is to help raise up, help equip others that those needs, those things can be met. There's two offices, but we are a big body to help meet those needs and come alongside one another, love one another, encourage one another. You know, as we go through, folks go through our new membership class, one of the things I specifically talk about is plugging in and getting involved within the church, is because it's not my job or Pastor Jonathan's job or even our deacons, their sole job to go and meet all the needs, but rather, or to do all the ministry, but rather it's God raising up folks and us collectively as a body meeting those things. But God uses the leadership of a pastor and uses the office, the servanthood of a deacon to help meet those needs. But the whole body coming alongside and serving together. It's a complete unit. And so number one, deacons meet needs within the church. Y'all are not listening fast enough. Number two, deacons complete ministry within the church. They help complete ministry within the church. Notice verses 2-4. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So let's take just a moment and hit pause on what's happening here. At this time, you have the apostles who are serving. By the way, I believe that the office of the apostle is closed. It's those who heard and saw Jesus teach. That's been a long time since that happened. So the office of apostleship is closed. So now leaving the leadership within the church as pastor. And so as I look at this, I understand these are apostles teaching. I'm not an apostle, but this is close in terms of the leadership because it's the establishment of the early church, and you're having this grow and develop. And so I believe there's some examples here for us as a church to learn from. So he says in verse 2, then the 12, that's the apostles, summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, what's happening? There was a complaint. It got to the leaders. So then there was a gathering of the congregation going, hey, we have an issue. Let's try to figure this thing out. And I told you that growing churches, even growing churches, are going to have some issues in trying to work together. And as they met together, notice it's not necessarily all this of how we're going to solve this. The leadership had some ideas, but he challenges the congregation. So continue on. It's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Here's what I need you to understand. The apostles are not saying the serving of tables is demeaning, it is less than, it is unimportant. That's not at all what's happening here. But rather what's happening is the leadership is saying, hey, we recognize we can't do everything that is laid out before us. We can't be faithful to the Word of God and serve tables. And it's not that serving tables is less important, but they are saying, we believe God has called us to the ministry of the word and to prayer. And that's where God's gifted. That's where God's called. And so we need some help to help serve tables. And please, let me say it again. I'm going to say it a bunch. It's not that the serving of the tables or taking care of the widows was less than ministry. It was equally important to the congregation. It was just the leadership saying, God's called me in this area and to help lead you so that these can be met. All right? So continue on. He says, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, the congregation, the believers, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So what we need to see here is that deacons help fulfill, they help bring a complete approach to ministry, meaning that in these offices there are differences in God's called role, God's call on an individual's life, and their role and responsibility. Again, hear it again. It's not that one is more important than the other. It's just different in the way God has called and God has equipped. And so what they recognize here is that the apostles aren't able to do it all. They can't meet all the needs. They can't do all the things that God has called them to. And then as the church is growing, there's more than they can handle. There's more than they can do. And they recognize, they don't neglect the problem. They recognize there's an issue. And so the leadership comes and says, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't you find seven men? And they lay out some qualifications. We're going to talk again about qualifications. And bring them up. And in verse 4, he says, that way we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That way the deacon or the apostles go, man, I can be faithful to what God has called me to. They can meet these needs. It's important. It's vital. We need to do this, but I can be faithful to what God has called me to do. We don't have a lot about deacons, but we get a little bit, and we hear just a little bit from Timothy and Philippians 1:1 about the importance of this. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints here in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, and he names the two offices with the bishops and deacons. For me, I believe and interpret the Bible that bishop, elder, pastor, those are all synonymous. They describe the same role, but they have a different texture to each one of them, if you will. And so we don't have a lot of passages about deacons in the Bible. I think part of that is because the very word deacon itself means servant. And oftentimes I believe in these churches that God has raised up and called men, and they're serving in the background, and you're not seeing and hearing a lot from them because deacons aren't called to run the church. This wasn't a leadership board. It wasn't they're running this thing, but rather they were coming alongside to serve in the ministry to help the church grow to be what God had called it to be. All right, so number two, deacons complete ministry within the church. Number three, deacons are raised up from among the church, from among the church. Look at verses 5 and 6. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. I don't know, maybe that's not a Baptist church, right? Too soon, too much? I'm sorry. All right. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, listen to this, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, Parmenius and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. There's a lot of belief that these were likely Hellenists, except for Nicholas, who was a proselyte, and so on and so forth. But raise these up. Notice verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And so I just want you to notice that God raises up these men from among the church. Apparently, they had a good testimony. If you remember, part of the qualifications leadership set out says they have good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And it says specifically about Stephen that he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Boy, don't you want that to be your testimony? Whether you're man, woman, boy, girl, child, whatever it is, I want that to be the testimony of my life, that I'm a man who walks with the Lord and is full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And so I hope that's true for each one of us, but specifically with these that God has raised up, they are raised up from among the church. So they have some qualifications early on, these men of leadership. And whether we know whether these were specifically deacons or not, and again, I've already told you my position on that. I think it is. I think it's just the early establishment of that. But later on, we get some clear qualifications of who or ought to be, or who deacons are, or who the qualifications rather to serve as a deacon. And so if you will, look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 with me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. God raised these men up, and nonetheless, for us today, this is a very prescriptive passage about the qualifications of a deacon. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. I understand there's a lot of great debate today about ordination and all those sorts of things and ordination process, but I think this is part of that. This let them be tested, meaning that they ought to have a good reputation among the church. We ought to see that, and then we ought to be careful about placing our hands upon recognizing that call. So then he goes on, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons, for themselves as a good standing, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Simply the call of God on a man's life to serve as a deacon, the very word deacon means to serve. And as best we can, I believe you, as a church, you have recognized this in these men and their wives. This is one of those really hard things. You know, I was visiting with, as we had kind of our ordination council time, and asking these men, going, hey, do you meet these qualifications? You know, and going, how do you answer that? Well, yeah, I do. Well, then you just lost because pride, you know, or whatever. But you know, each one of these guys, I think as a church family, we've recognized that as best we know, as best we can tell, certainly not perfect, but there is a living out. There's a testimony that lines up with these qualifications as it is laid out in the Word of God. And that's important. But then we come alongside and we probe some questions and ask and all those sorts of things. And God honors that and God's blessed that. But I want you to notice among this passage that these men were raised up from among the church. And that's what excites me about today, is that we get to see that God has raised up some men from among our congregation. And I'm praying, and I hope you are too, that God will raise up more. God will raise up more. As I look, you know, what's exciting to me is both these families represented here. I look at these family, and for both of them, there's some tradition, if you will. There's heritage that is laid before them as they have family that have served in this way. And that's exciting to me. That, man, makes me rejoice in that. And all I hope it does, hopefully it helps us pray for those kids in our church. And those young people in our church, pray, and maybe God will raise them up one day to serve as a deacon. Maybe God will raise them up one day to call them to the ministry or whatever it is, and that God will use that and be glorified in that. So deacons are raised up from among the church. And then number four, there's a whole lot more that we could say there, but number four, deacons help the church grow. Deacons ought to help the church grow. What happens here? Notice verse 7. In verse 6, they laid hands on them. We talked about that. We're going to pray. We're going to do just that before the end of the service. Verse 7, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. What happened here? You guys know I get the privilege to work with the men's basketball team as a chaplain character coach, and just started the season. And one of our guys, he's in his second year. I won't tell you who he is. But he's in his second year, and he's kind of been playing out of position because of some injuries and some things going on, and just really has not played well at all. Not at all. Really struggling. Well, the other night he got back to himself because there were some guys that came back that were healthy, and he got to move back to his normal position. And, man, really helped our team, played well, all those sorts of things. You get the idea. Why share that with you? Because I think that's similar to what's happening here. Is that the church had grown, and there were some growing pains, and there were some aches, and there were some bumps and bruises, and there was some neglect, and it wasn't intentional, it wasn't just malicious or any of that sort of thing, but rather there's some growing and just missed some things. And so some folks stepped up and said, hey, we're missing the mark in this area. And so leadership stepped in and said, hey, I think what we ought to do is look for some men to help do that. And that's exactly what they do. The church recognizes those, places those before. And then they gather together, they lay hands on them, say, man, we believe God has called these men to serve in this way. And what happened is it allows, there to be a need met by some folks within the congregation because the saints are doing the work of the ministry and allowed the leadership to kind of get back in their lane and focus on what God had called them to. And when that happened, people got put in their normal position, and man, God blessed that. And the church grew. And God was honored and glorified in that. It's not easy. And I understand sometimes as a church, man, we, to be honest with you, there's certainly times where we miss ministry needs and things that ought to be met and done. Absolutely. But can I just ask you this? Let's commit together to not attack one another in those moments, but just look around and go, man, who's God raising up? How can we make sure these needs are being met and these things are being taken care of, and understand that, man, as best we can, we really do love one another. We really do. And if somebody's being neglected or there's a ministry or something being neglected, it's not because anybody hates them or anybody doesn't like any of that sort of thing. It's not that at all. It's just, man, as the church grows and some things happen and change, happens, those sorts of things, sometimes things are missed. And so my encouragement to you and to all of us as a church family are going, hey, it's not malicious. It's not intentional. Let's talk about it and pray through and see if God will help us to get to a solution, and God will use these men and use others within our church to help meet those needs so that we can serve faithfully in the place that God has called us to, and trust that God will grow His church. Man, don't you want that to be said of Second Baptist, that the Word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly at Second Baptist Church? I want that to be said. Not just so folks will go, man, look at Second Baptist, how great they are. Woo, Dougie, they're good. But rather go, man, look at what God's doing. Look at the glory of God. And you know what? That the church may grow, it may spill out into other places in our community, in our state, and around the world. Because the world is lost, and we need more. We need more that are following Him. So what's the invitation this morning? First, the invitation is maybe you're not a disciple. Maybe you've not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus and repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Him. Man, today is the day of salvation. I would encourage you, if that's you, pray, ask the Lord to forgive you and be the boss of your life. Secondly, you know, we see an example here of how to take care of some things that are going on. And maybe there's been some issues and some neglect, and certainly willing to say that's certainly within reason. But I just wonder how we handle those things. Have we handled struggles and hiccups and growing pains and all those sort of things in a way that honors the Lord, or in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord? And honestly, only you and I can answer that and know, are we talking to the right people who can help bring solution, or are we just grumbling and just fussing and fighting and complaining and not really trying to seek a solution? If that's you, I would encourage you, man, I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you and help us And we lock arms together to grow for the glory of God. And then the third part is maybe God is calling you. Maybe God's calling you to ministry. Maybe you're sensing a call from God on your life. Won't you respond to Him? And then finally, if nothing else, if that doesn't hit any, man, won't you, in these next few moments, we're going to have some time to pray for them, but in these next few moments, won't you pray for these men, pray for our church? So I'm going to ask if you would, if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes. If you say, Pastor Chris, the first is me, I don't know that I'm a disciple. I don't know that I've surrendered my heart and life to Jesus. I don't know that I can say that I'm a follower of Jesus. Man, I encourage you, won't you pray and ask the Lord to save you and forgive you of your sins today? You may pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart, wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. I give everything to you, Lord Jesus. Save me now. We're going to have a time of invitation and you remain in an attitude of prayer. I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. If you prayed and said, and I asked God to save me and forgive me my sin today, I'm going to encourage you to come and say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that today. Ask Jesus to save me. Maybe you've been struggling with anger or bitterness or complaining, grumbling, and you just need to ask the Lord to forgive you or whatever it is. I'd encourage you during this time, maybe you want to come to the altar and do that. Maybe God's got a call on your life and you don't know what's going on, but you know He's calling you to something more, something deeper, something greater. I want to encourage you. You come. Say, Pastor Chris, I don't know what's going on, but man, God's placed a call on my life. And maybe if you just really feel led and compelled to come pray for these men, pray for our church, pray for their families, pray for their wives and their families. I'm going to pray. We're going to take a few minutes and respond to Him. Jesus, we love and adore you. God, I pray that all that we say and do, God, help us to respond to you. Whatever it is you're doing, however it is you're leading us, give us boldness in this moment, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may an attitude of prayer and you just spend the next couple moments, God dealing with your heart about something, you want somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. If you want to come get on this altar, I invite you to come do that. You be obedient to Him in these next few moments. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray, God, in these next few moments that we will just focus on you. And God, you be glorified. Just thank you for your love and compassion. And I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to enter into a time of intentional prayer. I'm going to invite our deacons, if you'll come, and I'm going to invite Jason and Tyler, if you will come. We're going to set a couple chairs down here for them, just because it's a little bit easier to get around and pray over them, pray for them. Yeah, if you'll move that out just a little bit. There you go, right there. Perfect. All right. Here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to invite our ordained men. If you would come, I'm going to invite Brother Jim Whitlock. He's going to join us. They have some family members. You go ahead and come. Matt's going to begin to play softly. And these men, kind of one by one privately, they're going to go by and pray for each one of these men and then go sit. And then after that, We're going to have an intentional time for our church family to come gather around. And so those ordained men that I met with, if you'll come and begin, and we're just going to take a few moments together and pray over them. And I want to encourage you as a church, you already be praying for these men right where you're at. Amen. I'm going to invite Melissa and the kids and Kelsey up and to come and be with these men, their families. And they're going to come and be with them. And the book of Acts says that the church gathered together and laid hands on them. And I know we don't do that often, but I think it's scriptural. I think God honors that. And so I'm going to call upon our church. I know we don't do this often, all that kind of thing, and it's tight, all that sort of thing. I'm going to ask our church family, come. And as close as you can, get together. Let's lay hands on them, on their wives, on their kids. If you can't get right next to them, lay a hand on somebody else. This is what the church does. The church recognizes God at work among His people. And I know this makes you even a little bit more uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you to do this. God hears our prayers. I'm going to ask you to pray softly but out loud. That we're going to take a few moments, and if you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. But if at all possible, God hears every one of us all at the same time. And I would just want you for a moment, we're going to have a few minutes, well, I just want you to pray softly and out loud. Pray for Tyler and Kelsey, and then pray for Jason and Melissa and their families, okay? So I'm going to ask you even now, if you'll begin to pray out loud, pray softly over them, if you'll begin to pray now. God in heaven, we are so humbled by your grace and mercy.